your fastball per se. I believe your guy Stevens in Boston is on the hot seat. How would you look at him? Do you think he's gotten better, or do you think, you know what, Goo, he has to take some of the criticism? Something's going on there.
Well, first of all, Wick Grousbeck, the owner of the team, just gave him a vote of confidence. He and Danny Ainge.
Oh, I missed
going
that.
Anywhere.
Man, he put that Wick Grousbeck right in your face, Goo.
Yeah. No, Matumbo.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. You know, I would never want a Grousbeck in my face like that.
I wish Spadoni, thanks, man. Because Spadoni told me to ask you that.
Guru's got my leg a little bit here, saying Stevens is my guy. I mean, I think he's a very good coach. My guy. He's not in my guy Spoelstra category, for example.
No.
So he's
but the
just...
personal relationships, like, I don't think he would have survived Draymond like a Kerr had. Something's going on, even with Kyrie in Boston. I know Kyrie's a wild card. So my point is, and I don't got to tell you two this, coaching sometimes dibs is more, you just talked about it, than X's and O's. You got to be able to tame the beast, per se, too. You got to have
people.
That locker room game.
Yep. It's way more. The X's and O's is almost like, I would say, fifth on the power ranking of coaching attributes. The first thing is managing people. Because Draymond Green, Steph Curry, even Wiggins and Oubre to a lesser extent, these guys are pros, and they're grown men. And so there's only so much. All right, we're going to punch him in the mouth. We're going to get so much of that rah-rah hairy high school stuff you can do. You got to let grown men go out and handle their business. So how do you put them in a position to where you manage all the egos? And like you said about Draymond, Goo, you got to let Draymond go. Otherwise, he can't be the player he's going to be. So you have to let him live on that edge. He burns you in Charlotte. He helps you in Indiana. And Steve Kerr has enough confidence, though, to be able to sublimate his own ego and make it not personal.
Dibs, that was beautiful, but I got to say this. When he did that, Steve Kerr, with Draymond, he got lucky. Because to me, you risk alienating other players, maybe not as talented as Dre, Steiny, watching Dre get away with things. And that can fester. But it sounds to me that Kerr rolled seven dice. He hit on that not happening in his tenure with the Warriors.
But he also knew that he had Steph Curry, a self-assured, mellow character, and Klay Thompson, maybe the most mellow superstar we've ever seen in pro sports. And so you take those two
guys. Certainly in our league.
Yes, and you sprinkle in, you know, Iguodala and Livingston. These are mellow guys. You didn't have a Draymond and then a Draymond Jr. Then you would have you would have a problem. You know, if Draymond Green is gasoline, you had no flame in the locker room, so you keep the cap on it best you can and, you know, crack a window if it starts to seep.
Yeah, nice. I was, Boston, okay? You know,
it's
they
fascinating,
got four,
man.
I mean, to me, it's, you know, their four best players are Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, and they've not played a game together. Yet, a full game. Those four have not played a full game together. So, I mean, I think that's more their problem. Kemba Walker and Smart have basically missed half the year each. So, I mean, sometimes you just – and I'll tell you what, you would put a little bit of a rat on. Nah, don't put it on. It's not big enough to make the table. But
some mouse on the table?
We're putting
mouse
baby rats on the table now?
Wow. Mouse in the house.
You know, the little secret.
Seriously.
Might be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown might be a little bit overrated. How about that?
Yeah,
maybe that was a big rap.
Definitely not your guy, Stevens.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. No, he's part of it. I mean, what are you saying? He's a bad coach?
When I watch Tatum, as good as he is, Steiny, they don't run no action for him. It's just like Stevens just says, hey, you go create everything. And that doesn't work every time, Dibs. So from afar, it looks like Stevens runs something, make the game easier for Tatum and all the assets that he brings to the game. But it seems like Stevens looks at Tatum, go out there and try to make it happen, and it's like 1-on-5. Come on, Brad, draw something up to make the game easier for Tatum.
But they may not have the players to run the action that you're looking for. You know, not every player can play with a pass and cut mentality. A lot of guys are, it's screen roll or it's me attacking, it's me getting mine. Not a lot of teams play with that free-flowing style, and I think Boston, without its other pieces, is struggling to find offensive fluidity.
Let's go to Bobby. Bobby's in Hayward. Let's talk a little Steve Kerr. What's up, Bobby?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, hey.
I just say, man, I want to pass out my own flowers, man, to you, Steiny, you, Dibs, Goo. Man, I'm telling you, man, you guys hit it on the head, man. I love Kerr. I think he's doing a hell of a job. And, you know, Steph is going to be Steph. Draymond's doing what Draymond do. And I think that he's really brought the best out of Wiggins and Oubre, you know. But when you guys were mentioning young guys, what he's done for Eric, you really didn't say much about Lee.
You know, that's not yet.
Job with his,
yeah. Fair.
You talked about Wiggins yesterday, and, you know, he's really settled into being a pretty good two-way player.
Two-way Wiggs.
And, yeah, because he's helped that defense be number five. It's not all Draymond, you know. And
true.
I know how you guys got on Draymond. I had to call in about that. You know, I'm going to take a moment and take my glory, you know. But Draymond going to be Draymond. Steve, you know, remember, he played with Rodman. So
yeah, you're right.
So he does have a little there with knuckleheads, you know.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Bobby B. I'm with you there. I'm with you. Damian Lee is a player I forgot about. I mean, sometimes I watch Damian Lee and I think, doesn't feel like he's an NBA player at times. Am I a bad guy for saying that?
He plays with that attitude. And I think Dibs, he hates the fact he loves his brother-in-law. But I feel like in my mind, he's thinking, guys think I'm on scholarship around here. And he has an axe to grind. And he just plays with a little, you know, moxie, per se.
Yeah.
And he can
shoot. Yeah, he's playing to stay. And that's where, you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson's probably his biggest fan because that's the gateway for JTA. Same thing. It's effort. It's energy. It's making the plays, don't be a liability, and when you have a chance to score, you got to score. And for Damian Lee, it's hitting the three ball, you know? You're not looking for him to shoot it eight times a game, but when you get open looks, a shot created must be taken is one of my favorite expressions because it's true. It's absolutely true. If you get somebody, you know, they're going to double Steph, and it's two passes out of a double to find the open shooter. We know that. And if you're that guy to get the second pass, you got to knock it down.
Unless you're Draymond, right? Because you will admit, Dibs, you see when normally you should shoot that ball right there. But Dre will wait to the betterment of the team sometimes, Stoney. But it's like the naked eye is like, that ball should have went up.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like sometimes – I'm not saying you do it, but you do. He's just – if you ranked all the aspects of his game, scoring's at the bottom. And most other players, defense is at the bottom. So I just look at, you know, for the one thing he doesn't do great, there's about five other things he does, and we've seen it over the years, where he really can help a team without scoring. Now, I do think there's a fair question to ask about what the hell has happened to his three-point shot.
Man.
But, look, I here's where I disagree with you just a little bit, Goo. You know, if he knows he can't make that consistently, I think Draymond's the type of player that won't take it rather than, well, I'm just going to shoot until I make a couple. Because I think he knows if he does that, it's not good if he takes three.
But he's been
or
letting
them
go here
more.
The last few games, though. He's shooting them. Like, he attempted one early in New York. I'll say this. I got two basketball confessions, Dibs. One of them is I wish I could go back in time and see the Warriors could defend their title after they blew it in 16 without getting Durant. And the second, and this is a compliment to Draymond Green, I'm looking at the Sacramento Kings, who are currently 12-19, and we talked about this. If they got Draymond Green today, Steiny, or started the year off
What impact would he have on a team like that with talent but no legit shooter like Steph Curry? So all the things that he does, would it come out in the wash in regard to taking a whole team of young players to another level? And would that change, Dibs, in regard to the record?
Fascinating questions. You hit with me with about five of them. I'm going to have to mull those over during the break. And as I chastise Spadoni for the lack of an usher drop there, as you were offering your confessions.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe's a little – he'll come back. He'll bounce back. It's early.
Sorry, it's my fault. I'm wearing this one, guys. I distracted him.
Oh.
Oh.
Look, I mean, look, you got to be able to do two things at once. Kyle's bad. Face it, Kyle.
Great job, Spadoni.
All right. I was talking a little bit earlier about why I think Steve Kerr's doing a great coaching job this season. There's one in particular move that he's made that came under a lot of criticism, but I think we all got to acknowledge it worked. And Guru might not want to admit it, but I think it worked. We'll talk about what it is on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steinie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hard to believe, but the All-Star break's coming up in a week. Next Friday, of course, next Friday will be a payday, which is more important than any All-Star break. But next Friday, the All-Star break is here. And the one thing we were talking about yesterday in a little meeting we all had was during the All-Star break, there's not going to be any games to talk about. No Warrior games. So we're going to have some fun during that break. And one of the things we're thinking of putting together, if the egos and the feelings of the callers can handle it, is the five of us in here. Of course, the three of us and Joe Spadoni and Kyle Mattson, we're thinking of publishing and announcing our first ever first and second team and honorable mention all callers list. Dibs.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, it's still to be completely fleshed out because having coached varsity sports in a number of different leagues in the high school level, you always have to vote on how many all-leaguers will there be. You know, I coach volleyball, Goo, Santa Fe High, Drake High School, St. Joe's, Bishop O'Dowd. God, been around a little bit. But, six players on the court, so you usually have six all-leaguers per team. So maybe for the five of us, we have our five first-teamers, five second-teamers, and then, you know, honorable mention where you get a couple per area code. You know, maybe our top 408ers, our top 415ers, the 707s are out there, and, of course, the 510 people as well.
And Stoddy is a former caller. I got to tell you, the night before, your boy would be nervous to see where he would rank at. So this is going to be, and no, there's no losers in this. But, you know, I like it. It's creative. And we got good callers, quality, men and women.
Definitely.
A girl in Arizona.
Right. Lori.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Lori.
Robin, of course. Robin,
how dare you cheer for the Lakers?
Yeah. You know, Jonathan in San Francisco, a guy who would get consideration. But honestly.
Leroy.
Well,
Leroy
I think
from
when
Oakland.
When you start to think about the real first teamers, it's pretty easy to see where you would start and finish. Probably in and around Palo Alto, I would imagine.
Well,
okay, Dan.
I will say this, and callers, you know, just a fair warning to callers is every call. I mean, these are big games coming up for callers in this next week. I mean, you know. These are big. These are playoff games now. Every call is a chance for you to move up or down in terms of first team, second team. You know, and also there's apparently some of the past All Stars are they're either injured or they're banged up. Where's Dame been?
You know, Dame
might have been a first or second teamer. A few months back, but I don't know if he's banged
Rich
up.
Rich from Fremont,
well.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even you throw in a
211,
Danker. Oh yeah, Fremont 211.
Every call counts. Just know that, and you do have to take it one call at a time. And good Lord willing, hopefully things will work out for you because topics change, calls change. Most important thing is to come in, have a solid opinion, get to it relatively quickly, integrate show inside jokes if possible, including things that are emerging, and put rats on the table if you need to. You can liquidate all assets. Just feel like you're a part of the group.
Hashtag random Steiny. I got to get this to you real quick. You and Dibs. I'm watching the Pacer game last night. There's people in the stands. When is California? How close do you think we are from people being at the Chase Center? I mean, if it's okay in one area, it should be okay across the board for the league. You know what I'm saying, Dibs? Because if I was the league, if everybody couldn't have fans, nobody can have fans.
Well, I don't want to make this an assailment of the, quote, United States of America, because we're not united. We are 50 states smushed together on the same piece of ground, but we're not united in anything, let alone our COVID-19 response. So in answer to your question, Goo, sooner rather than later, as far as when will it be, quote, allowed, because you're seeing counties now move into the red tier, the less severe tier. We've been in the purple tier in the Bay Area and almost all of California for the better part of 4 months. But now cases are slowing down in some areas. San Mateo and Marin, they moved to the red tier. So, you start to see some indoor activities allowed. Yeah. I think by the time we get to the playoffs in the NBA, San Francisco will be at a point, and this is a prediction, I think that they'll
capsule,
be able to have
time
some
cap,
capacity.
Put it in the cap.
It is. I'm putting it in there, Stani.
Put it in the cap, Spadone.
Put it in the
put
cap.
Put it in the cap. Put it in the cap. I want my put it in the cap as my put it in the cap going forward. I don't want Steiny's put it in the cap. So, Spadone, do me a favor. Put it in the cap. By the playoffs, there will be some capacity allowed at Chase Center. Not a full notch, Mr. Lacob, but a half a notch.
Yeah, and we should also say, Dibs, you brought it. This up yesterday, which is probably right on the money. The Warriors finished the season with 6 home games, the end of the regular season, 6 straight home games to finish up. And the logical conclusion there is that Joe Lacob is hoping by that point there's some fans that will be allowed in the Chase Center by then. And when they come back, they're going to see a center who's 20 years old, and I guess the question will be at that point whether he's back in the starting lineup or not. But James Wiseman is now coming off the bench, and in the last 2 games since coming back from a wrist injury, he's been effective. And when he went to the bench, a lot of people didn't like the idea of a player like Wiseman going to the bench, for a number of reasons. But Steve Kerr, after last night's game, take a listen to what Steve Kerr said about Wiseman and playing with that second unit.
Yeah, it was up and down, but everything's great for James right now. Every experience matters, and it's tough coming back from an absence. The second game back, to me, is always the harder one. The first night back after an absence, you have the adrenaline. You're playing. It just you feel great. Second night, the adrenaline goes away, and it's always a little more difficult. So, tonight he had some good plays. You see how fluid and athletic he is, and just by being out on the floor, he impacts the game. But he's learning every day, and all these experiences are really good for him.
That's Steve Kerr. James Wiseman, 18 minutes yesterday, 11 points. 5 rebounds. That's not bad in 18 minutes for James Wiseman. I'm going to go ahead and say it. When Wiseman was moved to the bench, there was talk about whether or not that was the right decision. And is there anybody right now who can say that wasn't a great move by Steve Kerr? I think it was a terrific move.
Yes, and you protect the young player from additional pressure of being out there with Steph and Draymond, because Draymond is exacting to play with. You know this, and that's why Clay and Steph, when their careers are all over, I wonder if there's ever a tell-all moment where Steph and Clay can just sit on a set and talk about all the times that Draymond came down their road, and they just let it happen. They like water off a duck's back, Steiny. So for the youngster to play with the second unit and to be spotted, 4 minutes here, right, we'll bring you back for 5. Oh, you're playing well? Here's 6. That's the best way to nurture a young player in our league.
Yeah, and for viewing pleasures, I'd like to see more of them, Steiny and Dibs, so I won't go against Kerr, But I will say that infamous day is going to come to where he's going to have to start finishing games. He's going, you know, like last night didn't bother me. He fouled out. I love that. I mean, you see him walk to the bench like, and he may not have played at the end anyway, but there's going to come a time, Steiny, and I'm rolling the dice, fellas, that when this team is whole, it's best when Wiseman's finishing games. And I'm hoping, and I'm sure Dub Nation is, that that manifests itself before the season, before the playoffs. But if you tell me it won't happen until next year, fine. But I love the hard knocks. Like, I love he got every foul in. I hated we wouldn't see him. But I can say this, Steiny and Dibs, had he not fouled out last night, he wasn't going to finish games. So to me, that's the first tangible carrot that you dangle in front of him. And he probably knows this, is, okay, maybe I'm not starting, but on the back end, they got confidence because I can finish the games with Steph and Dre.
Yeah, and I, that'll eventually come. You would think it's a matter of when, how fast. But I'm looking at two things, and Dibs brought up the one that I hadn't even really thought of, but I think it's worth emphasizing. And it's maybe you don't want to have Wiseman at 19 years old playing most of his minutes with Draymond Green, because Draymond Green is, would you say, exacting?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great word. That's a great word for what that relationship and what it may mean. So you accomplish two things. You maybe take a little pressure off Wiseman because he's not playing as much with Draymond Green. And then you play him with a second team where you can, you know what? You can take, what did he do last night? 8 shots in 18 minutes. You know, the night before, when he had 9 shots in 14 minutes. He's not getting 9 shots in 14 minutes if he's starting each half. So I think this has been a win-win, definitely, with Wiseman.
And it helps to have Kevon Looney back, because then you've got that sturdy defensive presence. And I know we're going to play the Draymond comments on the defense in general. He was appraising and assailing everyone in equal doses like only Draymond can. But having Kevon Goo, who is a good, solid defender, you know, he's not going to be in the wrong place. He's not buying pump fakes. That helps the first unit, too, and that helps to keep Draymond's irascibility or his anger in check, too.
Yeah, I take Looney for granted, Steiny. I always have.
Yeah, you don't like him. You don't
like him. No, I do like Kevon.
He put up numbers.
Friends with our girl Katrina Carter, the nutritionist. Well, that's a girl. She helped him get in shape. So I do like Looney. It's just, I love the pizzazz, the flair, and the what if and the potential of a 7-1 guy that can handle the ball in James Wiseman. And it, like you said, Steiny, the metal's going to hit the road at some point. When is the clock? Is it going to match Steph and Dre? Because for me, when I talk about noise in the playoffs, I'm sorry, it's with Wiseman on the court with those guys and him getting better because he's taking lumps, if they're lumps, with those guys. So I don't think you can run from that. You can't protect him from that. Like I tell my kids how to act in outside, but I can't protect them from what the streets are going to do or people are going to do once they're outside of the home. You can just give them the tools, the skill set to hope they make the right decision. And that's what I feel like with Wiseman. Let him go out there and, do I dare say, mess up Dibs and Steiny so he can learn and get it right and they can be whole when it's playoff time.
Sounds good in theory, but while you're letting him eat and learn and all those things, you may not make the playoffs. I mean, the first step is to make the playoffs. And I don't care. And if you make the playoffs, guess what? Wiseman's getting experience. I don't care if it's coming off the bench or starting. I would much rather limit Wiseman during the regular season and this team get to the playoffs and he experience a little of the playoffs, as opposed to Wiseman's the starter and he ends up playing 28 minutes a game, but maybe they fall short.
Right, and maybe you expose him to things that he's not ready to take in, and you put him in spots where he's failing more than he's succeeding because he's playing with the starters, and now he's not in the offensive flow because he doesn't know when to get Steph off and how to really play alongside Draymond for that long stretch of time and to eat up those minutes. You know, there's going to be a rookie wall he hits anyway, but I think his is more profound because he's only, 30 games into his basketball life outside of high school, 3 in college and 20 in the pros. He's not even the conference tournament season yet of his freshman year.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And in case, Dibs, you brought up something about Draymond, the assessor, and I didn't know that he had
that's
been.
Great.
I didn't know, though, but Dibs is right. I didn't realize that they had given Draymond the role of team spokesman, because he is commenting. He may as well have a dais. I mean, the things he's talking about. I want you to listen to a couple of these. This is Draymond on Steph Curry's fantastic defense this season. Take a listen to Draymond.
Fantastic, you know, because due to his defense and, you know, the way he's playing and fighting on that side of the ball, there's no holes in our defense. And, you know, it's been fantastic to watch. Obviously, me being here for 9 years now, to watch his growth on that side of the ball, you know, it's been spectacular. And, you know, I've been extremely excited to see that and, you know, be the back line of defense with a guy competing the way he's competing on that end. And, you know, that's a part of the reason, you know, we're top five defensive team.
All right, now listen to him getting a little more specific about Steph Curry.
I think he don't reach as much. You know, I think one, he would always kind of get to the position he'd reach, you know, and or he'd lunge forward and kind of take himself out the position. But he's not doing that anymore. I think a part of it is he's so much stronger than he's ever been. And due to that, you know, he's able to put up the fight with anybody. You know, guys who used to being able to back him down or take him off the dribble and bump him off, they can't anymore because he's so strong and you know, core strength. He's put on some muscle. So I think that's played a huge part in, you know, the defense that he's playing this season.
Yeah, Draymond also went on to say that he used to get beat backdoor once or twice a game, and that's not happening either. Warriors spokesman Draymond Green talking about Steph Curry's defense. I mean, man, Draymond's Draymond. What can you say?
You can say thank you, Goo, because we always complain about, you know, players and cliches, and you don't say anything. Here's a guy who's offering you his frank opinion, and he's saying to Steph Curry, I think Steph's going to be all right with the things he said. He's not going to be too hurt, I don't believe.
But this is just who I am and how I was raised, guys. There's a two-way street to this, and I love Draymond. I preference that, what I'm about to say. But what if Steph Curry went to that same microphone and critiqued Dre's ass? Do you think Dre would just take it like we're supposed to expect every Warrior? Sometimes you can talk too much. Nobody, I mean, and all I think about real quick here, and I ain't making something out of nothing. Real quick, Steiny, Maverick Carter on live TV talking about Steph Curry plays no defense and number 23 wasn't there to defend him. And then you come out and say what Steph didn't do and this and that. What if Steph talked about your non-offensive game to that degree? I think it would be a problem. That's just how I feel. You didn't have to go that extra to talk about what we already technically know. But, again, he gives grades out, but nobody grades him. Okay, I'm cool with it.
You said he thinks he might talk a little too much. It reminds me, wasn't there a song, You Talk Too Much?
Run DMC.
Never shut up. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So you just shut your yapper.
Yeah, that's cozy. We love you. I'm going to give your street cred. That's going to be a full notch for Steiny right there with a Run DMC poll.
Where'd it come from?
I don't know.
He's sneaky hip when it comes to, you know, there's a certain sliver of the hip hop era that caught Steiny. It caught his ear. So we're going to give you a full notch for that one, Matt.
Osmosis. Hey, Draymond Green. Since you're talking about everybody on the team, what's impressed you the most about, Kelly Oubre?
I think what's impressed me the most, number one, just the fight in him. You know, I've enjoyed playing with him. He brings a certain passion and intensity and toughness to the floor. And it's always fun playing with a guy who plays that style of basketball. I think another thing that shocked me is how athletic he is. You know, he's one of the quickest jumpers I've ever seen. If you drop him a ball off, it's nine times out of 10 he's finished it because he just bounced off the floor so much faster than everyone else. And I think most importantly is the resiliency. You know, for a guy to start off, I don't know, whatever he started off the season shooting from three and and not playing well and all the talk and the noise and, you know, to just stick with it and turn that corner and figure it out. You know, he's been very, very important for us over this last month or so. And, you know, it's been very beneficial for us and it's starting to show up in the wins now. So I think that's what stands out to me more than anything. You know, when you and living in a day and age of a lot of kids pointing the finger at the next guy, thinking they're better than what they really are. A lot of young guys do that. He didn't point the finger at anyone. So the resiliency that he's shown has impressed me more than anything.
That's Draymond Green on Kelly Oubre. A lot of people referencing Oubre's stick-to-itiveness, if you will. But don't people – I was kind of getting a kick out of Draymond, you know, state of the Warriors, just talking about everybody. But isn't what Steve Kerr did to Draymond essentially the same thing when he said, you know, Draymond crossed the line tonight? And, you know darn well if Steph Curry, Goo, were asked about Draymond and his behavior – you know what he's going to say. He's going to say, look, we love Draymond's passion, and that passion has been responsible for a lot of wins. And once in a while, he it gets the best of him, but we love Draymond. You know what I mean? That's kind of – isn't that the same thing, or do you think that's a little different?
I mean, you could sell me into it being the same thing. And, again, I'm looking at the text line, oh, Goo, you got something against Dre. I don't got a damn thing against Dre. And I know what he brings to the table. I'm just saying there's somewhat of a double – not somewhat, there's a double standard, man. And, you know, at the end of the day, like I said to you both, who critiques him? And we saw after this last debacle in Orlando, Charlotte, the coach said he crossed the line. That was it. Okay. Nothing to see here. And now, what about Eric Paschal? I didn't like the way he played the other night. Wow. He also added that, which we didn't hear. But I'm like, man, okay. If that's how you do it, who am I to question you? But, man.
I mean.
That's the construct of it.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is on the team. And that's the culture of it. And if to have a coach who's a little bit more – and I'm not saying soft, like it's a bad thing, but Steve doesn't really blow up at people, get in their face. You don't hear about, you know, closed doors, smashing clipboards and whatnot. It's very, very rare. So Draymond kind of acts as the bad cop. It's a good cop, bad cop between not the star player, but the enforcer. So Draymond has that certain edge where guys are held accountable in real time. And, you know, whether or not Draymond should be held accountable at the same time in the same way, that's for them to decide.
And I think the one thing we don't know about the equation here is whether Draymond does get criticized. It's just that we don't see it. That's a possibility, too, that he's getting criticized behind closed doors, and maybe he does some of his criticizing outside closed doors. But, one thing's for sure, Draymond's got the pulse of the Warriors right in his grasp, and he always seems to know exactly where they are. I want to switch it up a little on the other side, maybe talk a little bit about football. And I'll tell you what, 49ers quarterback issues, they don't have any issues at quarterback. John Lynch made it clear. I'll tell you about it on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
There's a lot of NFL stuff out there that we haven't gotten to in a little bit, and it's definitely related to the San Francisco 49ers. Looks like Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks not exactly aligned right now. Looks like there's a little bit of a power struggle up in Seattle. A lot of action up there, Goo.
Man, I'll tell you this. When you hear names like Russell Wilson be a disgruntled and maybe, he's to move on, if you're a team that was just not in love with your quarterback, but, you know, he was okay, I mean, he makes you look in the mirror differently. I would give everything in my savings account, Dibs, to get Russell Wilson if I had what I deemed an average quarterback. It's not much. What if I had an average quarterback, man? If Russ is available, I'd throw the kitchen sink at him and try to get him.
Yeah, hashtag bread, Steiny, with everything I own. I would give everything I own as I continue to skew both ways here on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Bread, I think three white guys with guitars from the early 70s, Goo, in case you need.
How do you know?
Yeah, in case you need to smooth it out one time for your old white friends like Steiny and I. Bread is always it's a good place to start, you know. But, man, interesting to see, especially in light of the Draymond Green-Steve Kerr conversation, where Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson have reached a point where it may not work out anymore. They have different ideas about how to run the offense, and Russ wants to let it fly and cut it loose, and then he had the back-to-back games last year where they turned it over seven times, and Pete Carroll pulled the reins, and now Russ isn't happy. So it just reminds me how fragile all these relationships are, Steiny, coach and star player.
Yeah, and I've lived through my share of those, Dibs, and sometimes they're not very pleasant, to tell you the truth.
Yep.
I'll bring you back to a story I've told many times of when we had Central Catholic at halftime. We were struggling with them.
D3.
And you know, quite frankly, it's high school. And quite frankly, I thought I was having a nice little game, and I wasn't getting a lot of help. And coach comes up and says, "Steinmetz, stop turning the ball over." And I was, if I had a brick next to me, I may have thrown it. But luckily, I didn't have a brick. And so it's essentially what Pete Carroll has told Russell Wilson. Hey, you know, you can't turn the ball over too much. And you know, Russell's more mature than I was as a high school kid. But
right.
There is a point. I mean, I know I'm making a joke out of it. But there is a point when something reaches the end where there is no going back, and maybe that's where they're at in Seattle right now.
I'll say this, Dibs. I feel like Pete Carroll needs to ask somebody to get the knife out of his back that Russell put in it, because there's some theories floating
Wait,
around.
Real quick. I'm sorry. Who put the knife where?
Russell put one in Pete Carroll's back.
Fair enough.
Because
okay.
I think Pete Carroll has done everything. Even going back to the Marshawn Lynch not getting the carry, there's theories out there that they wanted pretty boy Russell Wilson, the face of the franchise, to get that game go-ahead touchdown in the air so he could be the hero. You may believe that, you may not, but I look at that relationship like Pete's given everything to Russ. Russ wanted to cook, Dibs, and this year, you know what I saw from Russ? He was punch drunk. And yeah, that's because your O-line was decimated, but at the end of the day, you signed that big-ass contract, so they didn't have, you know, chicken to go get you that great offensive line. But for you to wake up and basically say, I don't know if you're saying it now, his agent is saying it ain't true, but for you to bring this light onto the team and call out your O-line when you weren't at your best last year for whatever reason, and you used to be Houdini, I mean, man, the gall, the audacity of you, Russell Wilson, to handle it this way.
Yeah, shout out, I think it was, what, Barack Obama, The Audacity of Youth, his book, not of youth. Kyle, hope? You're eating. I can't read your lips
when
you're eating.
The Audacity of Hope?
And you're off
mic.
I got to get that
you.
Book.
Yeah. The Audacity
Kyle's
of Hope.
Kyle's bad.
When I hear The Audacity. No, Kyle tried, but I don't read lips from a guy with his mouth full. I'm praising you, and you give me the single digit. That's
night-night.
That's insulting. Apparently, it's night-night. The thing about Russ, though, Goo, is it comes down to philosophy. Pete Carroll wants to run, pass in control, and then take the deep shot. Russ wants to be Patrick Mahomes. Russ wants to be considered one of the greatest of all time, and in order to do that, you have to have an offense that's a little bit more open. So even if it doesn't come down to a fractured relationship, it seems philosophical that they may be in different places.
Is he pouting, though, guys? Is Russell pouting? Because it's been so good for so many years, Steiny. My question's like, why now? Why, and if you are a disgruntled, why are you doing it this way if the reports are true? Why are you putting our business on the streets?
It's the Deshaun Watson approach now where, you know, and James Harden. And I'm not saying that these athletes shouldn't exert their will, impose their will on situations that they don't find to be in their best way. But this seems to be, Steiny, to be the new template where – you know, superstar player is upset. What's Seattle going to do? Are they going to, go ahead and hold out, Russ, or we're going to have you come off the bench. We're going to roll with the backup. No chance.
Yeah, and I always think of it this way. If certain players to me, in any sport, are so good that they can – I mean, look what happened with Nolan Arenado in Colorado. I mean, they just – there's a player there that they – that's one of the best players in the game, and it just doesn't – you know, they're both on different pages. I'm thinking of, like, even a Steph Curry. Like, what if something were to happen to Steph Curry where he was just like, you know what, I'm done. I want out of here. You think he couldn't control the situation? I mean, he would control – like, of course, it's kind of weird because you don't think Curry would ever do that. But I'll bet you if Steph Curry wanted to get out of Golden State, he'd get out of Golden State. Mm-hmm. And I just think certain players have juice and certain don't. And you find out who has it when you start making demands. You know, like that's – I kind of feel like, you know, Carmelo Anthony thought he had juice, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. And – you know, James Harden thinks he has juice, and he does. So does Kyrie Irving. So I kind of look at it that way.
But does the juice get you what you want? Because right now it's not getting Deshaun Watson what he wants. And to Carmelo, it got him back to New York. So, you know, he got to New York and then found out it wasn't going to, you know, he wasn't going to win any chips. And Dibs, I'm looking at Russell Wilson. There are reports today that he stormed out of an offensive meeting during the season because he felt like his input was being ignored. And to me, it looks like sour grapes because now if he stays in Seattle, he knows it may be years before they get that O-line fixed. So now he wants to go elsewhere if it's true. And that's weak sauce. And if Steph ever wanted to leave, I don't know these guys, but I feel like I do, it would never get messy to where it would leak in the public. And I thought Russell Wilson was in that category too, so shame on me.
Well, he's a special one, and let's not forget a guy by the name of Joe Montana, who at the time was not ever to have thought to want to go elsewhere or – you know, not that he forced his way out, but it became pretty clear that the Joe versus Steve, you remember, Goo, back in the day, that was a dominant topic in the early days of everything. And so ultimately, a decision had to be made. So as much as you can't imagine Steph doing that, you know, this thing, like you said before, everything has an end. There's going to come a time when Steve and Bob Myers decide we're good. You know, we don't want to do this anymore, or Draymond or Clay or Steph. Do the three of them, Steiny, all finish their tenure with the Warriors concurrently, or does any of the three ever play anywhere else? That's I know it's a wild speculation, and maybe you can, if you want to put this in the cap, you can. This is a deep cap, but I just can't imagine any of the three, Goo. Put it in the cap.
I think we're looking at an exodus the same year. And believe it or not, you know, I think we're going to have retirements of Curry, Kerr, and certainly Bob Fitzgerald at the same time. And so you have to start to ask, well, what is that going to do to the franchise? Once, and we broke that news yesterday that Fitz and Steph Curry will walk away from the game at the same time. And you want to talk about two monster voids. Now, how do you go about replacing two legends? It's twice as hard, Goo. Twice as
Curry
hard.
Curry brings the ball. I'm ready if they need some. Curry brings the ball half court. Is it the Dibs in the corner? Dibs shoot. It's good. I'm available, Steiny. But I could see Clay playing for one of the L.A. teams, more so the Lakers, where his dad is a part of the organization. And I also, you know, when you wake up sometimes in life, Dibs, you know, I know you want different challenges. And I could see Steph going back to Charlotte. May not happen, but I could see, you know, Steiny just not that that means it's bad in Golden State. It's just something new.
I got Curry signing one of those one-day contracts Hornets. Though, you know, signed for one day and retires in Charlotte. And
they're out there.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Cash me out one time.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's my guy.
Oh, yeah, Steiny. Yeah, I came home for us, Goo, that little three-teamer. Just for the listeners,
Wait, what happened? What's going on?
I touched our coworkers on the thread earlier with a three-team Europa League.
You didn't put it in?
I put it in, and that's why I got Steiny Kevin Dana right there.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Hit me one more time, Kevin.
Cash me out one time.
Oh, yeah, baby. Ajax,
find
late
the league
goal.
These teams are playing in, let alone the site to bet
Stein,
on it.
Man, I'll walk you through
Steiner.
It.
Steiner!
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to find it.
Right,
I'm juiced, man.
I do want to start gambling more, though, in my, you know, in the near future.
It's coming to California. You're going to be in a supermarket to be able to place a wager. Get ready. It's coming.
Well, I can do it on the internet. I just don't do it yet. I got to figure that out.
Yeah, and Steiny, when you do that, you're going to want to check out BetQL. Get more information before you place your bets and check out BetQL.com, an awesome website that uses data and simulations to help you be a better better. Bet smarter and beat the books, Steiny. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY for 20% off your next subscription at BetQL.com.
One of the things that may be true is Guru may be part of BetQL.com. I mean, they may start sniffing around.
I got to stay out a little longer. Wait till baseball starts. This ain't going anywhere. Your boy plays the horses.
The horses or baseball?
I call gambling all gambling the horses.
We are coming up on Derby season, Goo. Derby. So I'll have some Louisiana Derby picks for you, Arkansas Derby.
Let's go,
all leading
baby.
Up to the Kentucky Derby first Saturday in May, Kyle, as we well know. But yeah, just for the listener, I gave the fellas in-house a three-teamer. So
it hit.
Did it win?
You're hot. Thanks,
oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's the second one. He hit one 2 days ago. Yeah.
Which is why, you know, the Kevin Dana was so appropriate, Kyle.
There's nothing better than a Wednesday in July, 3:30 rolls around, you're not doing anything. Your phone lights up. It's a text from Guru. Hey, Pirates Mets under 4.5 runs. First five innings.
Hashtag random.
Who's pitching? Who's pitching, Guru? I have no idea.
Turn on MLB TV. I'm locked into Pirates Mets now. Had nothing else going on. It's great.
Yeah.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZF, MNHD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. And this segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromise.